Greek chords and the truth. A program showcasing the best in alternative roots and Americana music. With your hosts, Patty McHugh and Jen Myers. Music, interviews and musings. Right here on 98.9 FM for the best country.
Welcome once again to Three Chords and the Truth. My name is Patty McHugh and I'm here with my rad friend, Jen Myers.
Hey, Patty. How's it going today?
Good. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for calling me rad. It makes me feel good about myself.
You are very rad. You're rad. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, man.
We are going to start, as we always do, Jen, by acknowledging the Jagera people, the traditional custodians of West End.
Mm-hmm. And we would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of all the lands where this show is broadcast.
And today's show, Jen, we're going to be looking at the topic of self-doubt.
Especially artistic self-doubt, like how we can be a little bit too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, look, it's very hard being a creative person and finding that inspiration to create the next thing and make the next thing that you've got to do. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes to do that.
Yeah, being a creative type has got this strange dichotomy where a lot of times it's not hard at all. A lot of times it's full of joy and you're like, how good is my life? And then there's always you have to come down from that at some point. You know, I find it for me, the doubt thing is really cyclical. And I call the doubt monster in my head, and it's kind of a bit of it's good for me in a way too. Like, it's good to have the doubt there because that's the thing that makes me continually strive and go, is that good enough? I don't know. Maybe I can do that better. That's the thing that keeps me moving forward and trying to be better than the last thing I achieved.
But it also can be very, very crippling as well. It can actually prevent you from creating something new. And we're actually going to speak about that today with our guests, the Ahern brothers.
Yes.
Who are coming into play for us. And they've got a little bit of a story to talk about this and the process that they went through to make their record. And it's a fascinating conversation. But on this topic, we're going to start with a song by a friend of ours who's also an amazing musician and a friend of the show.
What a great songwriter. I mean, these friends of the show that we play, we're just in this songwriting community. So we have a few people that we know and we're friends with that we've toured with that are just at the top of their game with their songwriting and their performance.
And it's just our pleasure to share them with you and share them with a wide audience.
Absolutely.
This first artist is a guy called Brad Butcher, and he's got a song about self-doubt off his new record. It's called From the Bottom of the Well, and it's a cracker.
Yeah, man.
Of a well. from the ground, though I won't put a label on it. Still I'm grateful that I found whatever keeps me going when my bones are getting tired. Another day, another bill, eternally inspired. You see, it started off so small, it was hard to recognize the importance of the moment when I opened up my eyes. And all this time is fine now, there's no one who can tell. Now there is an ocean from the bottom of the well. And all this time is fine now, there's no one who can tell. Now there is an ocean from bottom of a well.
And I've seen them drag you screaming down the hallways in your brain. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome with your mind? Nothing matters. Taste the feeling till you die. Let it ride. Let it run your wife. Let it take the joy you love and turn it to despair. You know you knew better, baby, you just didn't care. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome when you're high? Nothing matters. Just a feeling.
You're tuned into Three Chords and the Truth on 98.9. That last song was Chase the Feeling with Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris. Next up, the Ahern Brothers.
8 years I've been on the run. Ooh. Burn these farms down one by one. 8 years on the run.
my wife and my life in Queensland. It is south with my son.
Changed our names and we got to stealing everything we could from everyone. 8 years I've been on the run. Ooh. Changed our names and bought these guns. 8 years on the run.
I gunned the guy down in Riverina, the caretaker of the farm. Well, daddy shot him dead and we burned his house down. Left him for those crows out in the sun. 8 years I've been on the run. Ooh. Gunned that man down just for fun. 8 years on the run.
Dark.
We took off,
we took off.
Lost our way in the trees.
Heard the dogs,
heard the dogs.
Saw the lights,
saw the lights.
Closing in on me. Before I knew it, I was on my knees.
Hands were tied, it's all over. I've been on the run. Ooh. Burn these farms down one by one. 8 years on the run. Burn these farms down just for fun. 8 years on the run. 8 years on the run.
All right, you just heard the Ahern Brothers with their song 8 Years on the Run. The boys are here. They're in the studio right now. We've got Steve Grady and Josh Rennie Hines sitting next to us. Tell us a little bit about what that song is about.
It's a true story, actually. It's about the two fugitives, Gino and Mark Stocco. They were running from the law for about 8 years throughout Queensland and New South Wales, and they finally got caught. And I think they're in jail now. But, yeah, they were kind of like modern-day bush rangers in a way.
Just father causing
and,
a ruckus.
Father and son, they were, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
They did run amok. They were just
They were just burning down farms and stealing things, just living off the grid for about 8 years, which is pretty crazy in this modern-day and age.
Absolutely.
What, what's the appeal of writing about them then, Mike? Why?
I don't know.
How'd it start?
We kind of this is when we were writing the album over in America last year, and we were kind of looking for a story or an idea outside of all the stuff we've been writing about. And we had that line, 8 years, and we're like, okay, what relates to 8 years? And then Steve, I think he'd just been reading about this story, so then we just read all up about it, and the song came from that.
I like my news apps.
Yeah.
News apps.
They come in handy, news apps.
I don't have a news app. Do I need a news app?
Yeah, I need a news app.
All right.
You have songs like that coming out.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm. Well, look, on a slightly more serious note, what we wanted to talk to you, this is Three Chords and the Truth, so we like to get at the truth here. What we wanted to talk to you guys about today is this, I suppose it's could be a slightly uncomfortable topic, but that makes it even more important to talk about this idea that musicians, we're not bulletproof, and that we have these moments of doubt and where we question what we do and where everything becomes very difficult and very hard. And I'll start with you, Steve. I know that a while back you had a bit of a moment like this where you kind of questioned everything that you're doing with the music. Is that right?
That is correct.
Would you like to tell us about that? And what, yes. You know, what prompted that? I'm like, you know, you obviously look, you know, I'm not going to blow smoke up your bum, but look, you're a fantastic musician. You're incredibly talented. I'm not the only person that thinks that. You know, what would make you doubt what you're doing and what preempted that?
I think years of just doing it and then probably not getting to a place where you imagined you would be. It's You have dreams. You know, you start out when you're young, you have dreams, and you see yourself up on stage in the big stage and selling records. But in reality, there's only a few people that really do make it. And I think having those really high expectations of yourself can be a little. It can let you down in a way. Mm. Instead of just sort of celebrating what you've done and how you and where you've got, which is a lot further than where you started. And then if you start comparing yourself to others and maybe someone who's more successful or something, it can make you pretty sad.
Mm.
Yeah, and you've been songwriting for a good long while now, and you've been really good for a good long while. So I can see how that could happen, where you think your expectations are that you should be in a certain place by a certain time, and if you put that kind of expectation on yourself and it doesn't turn out that way, you could possibly just, you know, decide things aren't working when they're actually working. It's just a matter of changing the goalposts and realizing how much you've done and where you've gotten to so far.
Yep, for sure. And when you start comparing yourself and you realize, oh, I'm not at the place I want to be, I started putting more pressure onto the music and what I was creating. So therefore, anything I made wasn't good enough.
Mm.
And everything I made, it had to be perfect. So like this whole thing of perfectionism just took over, whereas I thought, all right, the music has to be like every single song, not just one song.
Yeah.
Or not just 9 songs out of 10 on the album. Like every single song had to be perfect.
And at every step in the process, in the songwriting step.
Yeah, all of it.
In the recording step, in the mixing, all of that.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, as I'm sure you know, it's hard to see the forest from the trees when you're in those low moments. But, no, even the best artists that you're comparing yourself to wouldn't be able to achieve those high standards as well. And
no, it's completely unrealistic.
Mm.
It's not realistic. But when you're in it, when you're there, it's so hard to see that actually, hey, that's not possible. And if you just take a break from it for a second, it's actually okay. It's fine. It's which kind of led me to this project in a way, because I'd pretty much given up on my own music, like up until Josh and I started writing on this. I just had enough. I'd recorded an album with Josh, actually. I produced his album, and then he sort of produced mine. Like, and I saw Josh run away with his and put it out there. And whereas me, I was stuck. I was still at home just like trying to perfect it, and I was never happy with it. I think it was just years and years and years just building up to the point where I couldn't even let go of anything anymore.
Mm.
And that's such a shame, because it means you're not sharing your art. And then and now I look back and go, oh, who cares? Like, if it's not perfect. But when you're in it, you can't see out of it.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if this is the same for you, Josh, but for me, like, I try to have moments where I go, okay, well, this is this at this time. And I'm, you know, 6 months from now, I might not think it's perfect, but it's the, is it me, and is it what I want to convey at this time? And then let it go. Like, do you take that into the process, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most important things, is like to have that recording done. And for me personally anyways, to get it done and just try and get it out there. Like, yeah, like you said, a true representation of where you're at that point as an artist, get it out and then move on, I think.
Because you're going to change. Things are going to change.
Yeah, and if you sit around with it and try and perfect it and mix it and shop it around to records, it can be like a year later you still mess around with this record, and as an artist you've probably moved on, so this thing might have become stagnant. So I think it's just like, this is how I felt, this is how I recorded it. I felt like I've done the best I could in that time, so put it out and move on.
And in working with Josh, Steve, you've found that doubt monster is a little quieter. Is that right?
Well, yeah, Josh scared the doubt monster away.
Big scary Josh Rennie Hunt.
As you just heard, he just move on.
The vegetarian monster killer.
No,
there.
I mean there was still stages along the way in this where I was that perfectionism guy was coming back, and he was trying to sabotage the whole project.
Yeah, I ended up like saying to Steve, just stop listening to the album, put it down.
Mm.
If it was me, this would probably the album would still be getting mixed.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I could see the sense of, because you guys played this record for me at Dan Parsons' place, song by song, I might add, because I don't think it was initially going to be a, hey, let's play Jen the record. It was going to be, it was Josh saying, can I play her this song? And both of us looking at you, Steve, and going, is that cool? You know? And then that would play, and you saw that I liked it, and then it would be like, can you play the next one? And it ended up feeling like that whole thing was like that. So were you still in great doubt then?
Yeah, there was still parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in doubt, but every step along the way with this album, I've just seen how much people really do enjoy it. So that's put a lot of confidence back into me and back in the songwriting and just gone, you know what, it's actually, yeah, I'm really proud of it. Like, I can really stand behind it.
It's really good writing. You guys have you definitely found a sound on it. Like, I'm like enchanted by the sound.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And look, as well, Steve, I think thank you for talking so candidly about that. And, you know, I'll admit I've been in that boat that you're talking about. And sometimes as an artist, it's very difficult to get out of that rut where you just analyze everything to the last little bit. Mm. And you've done that spectacularly with this new project and with Josh and with this new sound. So power to you, man. Good on you. And I'm Thanks. Glad you didn't quit, because it would have been...
Oh, man, I was close. And, yeah, we started writing, we were in America, and just the songs started coming again. I was like, okay, all right, let's do this again.
That's good.
You know, and it was, and to do it with Josh, and I don't know, just such a more of a team effort. I'm not by myself trying to do everything and analyzing it by myself. I've got someone to share it with, and it's much easier for me personally anyway.
Enough talking about these songs. I really want to hear one. I'm sure the listeners do as well. And we're going to get you guys to play a live track for us now. Would you like to introduce that for us?
Sure. This song's called Today's the First Time.
I don't know.
I wrote this song about Steve's girlfriend.
That's great.
Actually, yes, did.
You wrote this song about Steve's girlfriend.
Yeah, this is kind of like the cornerstone of the album, I reckon. This is one of the songs, it's like the third or fourth day in, and Steve kind of had the melody for the verse, and then he said to me, I was thinking about writing about the move into Melbourne and my last breakup and stuff. Mm. And I was like, no, let's write that about what you're experiencing now, like how you feel now. Like, and earlier on that day, I think he'd said to me that this is the first time he'd missed someone.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that song changed the rest of the album, because it was about, oh, yeah, cool, let's focus on the present.
Mm.
It's a now album.
Definitely in the past, when I've written about the past too much. I think that's a common mistake. Not a mistake, but you can focus too much on who you are and where you've come to. Instead of, this album was just about like taking in our surroundings and going, how do we feel now, think now? Let's just do that. And yeah, it was, had good results.
Listen to that, songwriters. Think now. Try it out. It's probably good for you.
Alrighty, live in the studio, the Ahern Brothers. Thank you very much.
Steve,
take it away.
Steve Grady and Josh Rennie Hines.
Half a minute at it, haven't slept a wing since I left you. Airport lines and baggage screens, moving buses, city streets, all. I set up app on the roof, tried to stay awake all afternoon. I watched the fire grow into dab, hummingbirds are buzzing round back. Today's the first time I've missed someone. Today's the first time I've missed someone. Back the car and all my things, cigarettes and vitamins, oh. Driving through the redwood. Melbourne seems so very far away. It's funny where the music goes, takes me high and drags me low. But I wish he were here with me, seeing all the things I see. Today's the first time I've missed some. Today's the first
And you're listening to Three Chords and the Truth.
Cared for anyone so much. Chords and the Truth, a program showcasing the best in alternative roots and Americana music. With your hosts, Patty McHugh and Jen Myers. Music, interviews and musings. Right here on 989 FM for the best country.
Welcome back. Before the break there, you heard John Morland with I Need You to Tell Me Who I Am.
Yeah, what a great tune. Okay, Patty, I have a question about your own experience with self-doubt and the artistic self-doubt monster.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. That old familiar friend. Look, yeah, I think any creative gets it. I get it seriously. I've had many moments in the last, 2 years since I started really working towards my new record, mm-hmm. and that I've just sort of, stopped my mind. What am I doing? What am I doing this for? Is it for me? Is it for other people? And what's the point? And why spend all this money? And it puts all this burden on your family. But but that all being said, you have those periods of like low, but then you have those. It's you get those moments of just sheer joy as well. The first time I got my band together in the studio in Sydney and it was untried and untested. And I said, here's a song, here's how it goes. And, they just kind of launched. And all of a sudden, all that doubt, all those things that I'd questioned just went away for that 3 minutes that we played that song, And then I thought, that's right, that's why we do this. That's why anybody bothers to do anything creative, because, you get those moments of joy. But, look, they are shrouded in absolute doubt and misery and regret and all these things as well. And I think that's what makes it hard, but it also what makes it so beautiful.
It is. You have to fight for it. You have to wade through your own ability to stagnate and ability to question and second guess and overthink things. And you have to wade through that and push through. And I have the same things where I go, I'm this age. I'm still making music. It's not the most glamorous, even though it seems like it. Affair. It's not as financially viable as some other things. Should I wake up to myself and just go get a day job? Like, I have those questions all the time.
Well, I can answer that question, Jen. You should be doing this because, your music, and particularly for me, brings a lot of joy. And don't you dare stop. You're not allowed to stop making music.
All right, man, neither are you. We're going to hold each other to it.
All right, this next song is These Old Wheels by North Carolina folk duo Mandolin Orange.
Silence is golden, some may say, well I say silence is an aimless time to kill. It's a restless feeling pounding on my brain both night and day, and these old wheels of mine spin louder as it builds. Yes, the sky would surely fall if my dear drum did fill, to beat a single time and time around. Some may make it out alright, some may have never known. These old wheels spin far too loud, far too loud. For I love to hear a chorus from the morning bird choir and the sounds of coffee boiling on the pot. How I love to hear I love you in a dry morning tone. And just assume that if I can't, these wheels will stop. Yes, happy is the day I lay my poor head down, but neither trial nor trouble to compete with the chirp of summer crickets nor tree frogs croak. These old wheels slow down enough so that I may sleep. Yes, silence is golden, some may say, well I say, silence is an aimless time to kill. It's a restless feeling pounding on my brain both night and day, and these old wheels of mine spin louder as it builds.
Mm-hmm.
dosage is high. I'm seeing colors in the October sky. And vultures got me set right in their sights. But I'll convince them they're after the wrong guy.
You are listening to Three Chords and the Truth on 98.9 FM. That was Harry Hookey with Misdiagnosed. Next up, we have the Long Johns.
Y'all, it's shout out time.
And this week's shout out goes to all the Noongar mob listening in Perth.
Coming to you via the National Indigenous Radio Service at 100.9 FM.
Next up, we've got a classic Australian tune with elements of blues and swing and rock all mixed in together nicely. It's the Screaming Jets with Helping Hand.
Thank you. to dream of many things. Superstars are bizarre, kings and their pretty queens. Now it seems I need a shot, a drink to chop my thoughts. Why does it happen all the time? Is it just because?
Some pretty color parachute.
All right, that last tune was Parachutes by Melbourne duo Sweet Gene.
Well, Jen Myers, that brings us to the end of another show.
Yeah, another good one.
And if there's any musicians out there listening, never give up. Keep making your music. Push through those times of doubt and keep working at your craft because it's important. We need more music. And speaking of which, if anyone out there is listening and you're a musician and you would like to send us some music.
And you play this kind of music, this alt-country Americana roots stuff.
We would love to hear it. So send it in. We'll make a promise on air that we will listen to everything that's sent to us and we'll endeavour where we can to fit it into the show. So.
Absolutely.
Now, Jen, you picked this last tune to go out on. Would you like to please tell us about it?
Well, I figure everybody's favorite underdog is Todd Snyder. And if anyone has demons, it's that guy. He's a genius, though. He's a genius fighting his demons all the time, you know, and I think that's what all of us do. And so I have picked Talking Seattle Grunge Rock Blues, which is a classic tune. This is a live recording from the Near Truths and Hotel Rooms live concert tour. It's an oldie, but a goodie, and enjoy.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Rock and roll will never die. Hang your hair down in your eyes. Make $1 million. Well, I was in this band going nowhere fast. We sent out our demo, but everybody passed. So one day we finally took the plunge. We went out to Seattle. We started playing grunge. Washington State, that is. Space Needle, Eddie Vedder, Ichiro Suzuki. Now to fit in fast, we got flannel shirts and we turn our amps up until it hurts. We got bad attitudes and what's more, when we play, we stare straight down at the floor. Ooh. Ain't seen nothing like that on television in like an hour. Now to fit in on the Seattle scene, you had to show people something that they'd never seen. So thinking up a gimmick one day, we decided to be the only band that wouldn't play a note under any circumstance. We called it Silence, music's original alternative, a rich grunge. Well, we spread the word through the underground that we were the hottest new young band in town. Record guy come out to see us one day, and just like always, we refused to play and knocked him out. He said he loved our work. He said he loved our work, but he wasn't sure he could sell a record that didn't have any music on it. I said, man, you've been doing that all year. Hey, hey, my, my. Rock and roll will never die. Hang your hair down in your eyes. Make $1 million. Well, they made us do a video, but that wasn't tough. We just filmed ourselves smashing stuff. It was kind of weird because there was no music, but MTV said that they would love to use it. The kids went wild, the kids went nuts. Rolling Stone gave us 5 stars, said we played with guts. We were meeting chicks, taking drugs. They asked us to do MTV Unplugged. You should have seen it. We went right out there and refused to do acoustical versions of the electrical songs we refused to record in the first place. Then we smashed our shit. Well, we blew them away at the Grammy show by refusing to play and refusing to go. Then just when it looked like fame would last forever, along came this band that wasn't even together. Now that's alternative. That's the alternative to alternative. They're called Guns N' Roses. Sing if you know, all right? Say hey, hey. Our band got fired, and that's not funny, because now we're hooked on grass, but we're out of money. So the other day, he called up the band. I said, boys, I've taken all I can. I say we shave off these goatees
pack up the van, move up to Boulder, follow the yonder mountain string man.